I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Saleh thinks watching players get cut is inhumane.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And there will not be those moments on Hard Knocks.
Like, what are we doing? It shouldn't be up to him.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's his team. It's his facility.
It was not his show.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Bucks running back Rashad White. ESPN MLB insider Buster Olin. Coming up, author Greg Hardin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Buster Olney last hour. He does not think Otani's going to be on the move because Artie Moreno will not trade him. That is the owner of the Angels, and Buster Olney is one of the chief information individuals at the worldwide leader in sports, certainly on the baseball side of things. If you missed that conversation or hour number one of Rashad White with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, don't worry. We re-air on the Roku channel as soon as this hour is over. There's our YouTube page as well, all of our social media, our podcast through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Wherever you want to get your podcasts, we're right there, all 3 hours of The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show collection page, a very fancy way to say the Roku channel relationship that we have, has a video on demand service. You could watch us back whenever you want on that front as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're getting a lot of people calling in because I denigrated carrot cake like Marshall Faulk denigrated Kirk Cousins yesterday.
Maybe a little worse,
huh?
Yeah, because Nick at least Saban, Marshall felt a little bad. You don't.
It came up in the conversation with Nick Saban today at the SEC Media Day, saying that his favorite cake is carrot cake, and it's not even close. I said it's not even in my top 10. People are calling in, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. There's a poll question that's on our Twitter handle, at Rich Eisen Show. Correct, Chris? What do you got?
Correct. Carrot cake. Is it a top five cake? The gap is narrowed. What? No way is 55%. Absolutely top five, 45%.
Carrot cake making a run. Words I never said into this microphone.
Almost 4,000 votes. Keep them coming.
All right. Yeah, I hit that with a little retweet there.
Who wins the NFC South, Rich? The Saints, 49%.
I just had a great conversation in our green room with Greg Hardin, the author of Stay Sane in an Insane World, How to Control the Controllables and Thrive. One of his many charges, Tom Brady, I think you've heard of him. He is the man who wrote the foreword for this book, and the University of Michigan athletic counselor, Greg Hardin, who has also helped counsel Desmond Howard, Charles Woodson, Michael Phelps. He's won a medal or two.
Yeah.
And so he wants to come out and talk about his book. And we just had a nice brief chat. He goes, "We met when you were an honorary captain." I told him I blacked out that weekend.
You definitely did.
And it wasn't because I had anything to drink. It's just because I just don't. I mean,
you were, you know.
I just remember that weekend.
You were just like floating. You weren't even walking. You were just hovering.
Well,
around
I mean,
campus.
I spoke to the team, and you said I blacked out.
You totally blacked out.
That's out on YouTube.
It was awesome.
But the moment going out for the coin toss is not on YouTube, I don't think. And again, I was standing there. I believe a whole there are four players. I believe Booty, the famous tight end there, who's now a Big Ten network announcer.
No, Jake Butt.
Booty.
Same.
That's
same
right. That's oh, no, I actually I just was I follow hold on. I follow him on Twitter and his Twitter handle is Jay Booty, so that just came out that way. I know it's Jake Butt. Trust me, my kids loved. He's one of my Michigan's favorite one of the kids' favorite players from Michigan.
Josh David
but,
Booty.
Jake Butt and it was one of the four captains. And I went out there with them. And I remember Harbaugh saying, if, you know, we win the toss, we want to go, you know, we'll take the ball. And if we lose the toss, then we'll go that way. Okay? And he pointed in a certain direction. And I remember going out for the coin toss. And I got like polite applause when my name was announced. But when it's polite applause times 105,000, it was the loudest cheer I've ever heard.
There were so many people.
And it just blew me away. And I was just in a total zone. Like, I can't believe I was.
Probably left your body, right?
Dude, I was in the 50-yard line of the big house where I went to school. And I covered the team in 1989 and Bo's last season of the 1990 campaign.
And that had to be another bloody experience.
I just couldn't believe it.
It was pretty wild. We were standing on the sidelines. It started raining. They gave us rain gear.
But I just remember, being out there for the toss, and I got snapped back into my body when it came time because we lost it, and it came time to ask which way we were going. And I think Jake Butt looked at me and goes, "Which way?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute.
Me?
Like, I didn't know I was the, like, you're the captains of the team." And I literally, as I'm now rolling back, and I kind of went kind of like, Enrico Palazzo called a strike in the Naked Gun, like, went like that way, like that thing.
And you went higher register.
And I honestly, on the walk back to the sideline to Jim Harbaugh, I'm sitting there thinking, this is the ultimate. You had one job as the honorary captain to get this right.
You're like, did I know it?
And I'm like, did I screw this up? Did I mess this up? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm panicking. I probably needed Greg Harden to keep me sane walking back, And I remember Harbaugh had his hands on his khakis. He was already in game mode, staring, down the field. And all of a sudden, I walked back to the sideline, and he looks at me, snaps out of it, goes, "Hey, nice ovation." And I'm like,
"That was so intense."
Did you guys win that game?
We beat the breaks, as Dion would say, off of Central Florida.
Oh, okay. That was the year before they went undefeated.
The Griffin twins were
on the field that
Shaquille
day.
And Shaquem were I met them.
Were they captains?
They were.
Yeah.
And it was one of those many moments in my life when I went up to Shaquem when I saw him at the combine. I'm like, "Hey, we met before." He goes, "We have?" I'm like, "Yeah, I was that guy." I was that guy.
Who is this person out here for the coin
toss? Oh, you were?
That was you?
Oh, like, I was the guy who said we're going this way. How do you not remember me?
He's like, you messed that up, right?
Right.
Okay. Rashad White, our number one, said that he wants to be the first 1,000-yard rusher for the Buccaneers for the first time in a long time. He said I found that pretty cool for a kid in his second year saying that he studied Tampa Bay, the history of Tampa Bay running backs and all stuff. He mentioned Doug Martin's name. That's a good one.
The muscle hamster.
The muscle hamster, one of the great nicknames ever, right?
Which he didn't like.
I know. Because it talked about his stature, his height.
He knows how tall he is.
Yeah, but you want to be constantly reminded.
I mentioned Cadillac. Remember Cadillac Williams?
Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown.
Man. So that got us to thinking yesterday, actually, before he said this, you and Sean Mitchell.
Yep.
Rich Eisen Show digital platform coordinating producer. He and you came up with what idea do you have?
He put up a graphic. So 16 players had 1,000 yards last year. So okay. 16 teams. So 14 teams have a 1,000-yard rusher drought.
Okay.
So if you guys want to just if you want to just do the top 10, you have varying lengths.
Okay.
And I have the teams, I have the players in front of me.
Okay.
We're going to play a game.
All right. And so TJ and I are going to see how many we can guess correctly.
Correct.
One of us will go first.
Yeah.
If one of us, TJ, gets it correct, we then maintain possession.
Okay.
Keep possession.
So we're playing make it, take it, like we're playing one-on-one.
Exactly.
Or it's like Family Feud. We go until we don't get it right, and then you have a chance to steal.
So you could pass in theory then?
I'm never going to pass. I'll take a guess. I'd rather take a guess than not.
Okay.
Each of us will have three opportunities to ask for which year as a hint, sort of like, the spelling bee asking it in the form of a sentence.
Sure.
Okay.
Automatopoeia.
And whoever gets the most correct
wins.
I don't know. Carrot cake.
Then I'm gonna lose on purpose.
Which means I'm gonna tank.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Carrot cake.
Let's get some, what do you got? Some music here?
Some music, Rich, okay. Rich, call it in the air.
Oh, you're going to flip the coin. Okay. Just like I'm honorary captain again.
Well, that wasn't in the air, but.
Tails never fails. What are you doing? You flip it
Jay
over?
Jay Felly gave me a Canadian 50 cent piece.
What are you doing?
It's what we're sitting here.
What is this, Phil Ruckett? Did we just screw up a coin toss?
Nah, it's heads. TJ, you're up.
Okay, very good. Very good. Get some music.
I like to receive.
All right, first up.
All right, TJ, throw one out there.
Are you going Price is Right?
So I'm giving you the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't just throw something out.
Right.
All right. The San Francisco 49ers.
Last 1,000-yard rusher, TJ Jefferson. I have a chance to steal if you don't get this correct.
The last 1,000-yard rusher. They didn't have one this past season, correct?
That's the reason why they're
why they're on the list.
I'm stalling. I don't know if you can
tell. I understand.
We got to go.
Wow.
We got a guest.
Man, I'm way too long.
Come on.
Do you want a hint?
No hints. Okay. You can ask the year if you want to use one of those three.
2014.
2014, the 49ers?
They're the longest team without
we got a buzz,
rusher.
Man. This is, we can't have dead air. Come on, TJ.
5 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Well, Sean McQuay didn't even play for him.
Rich Eisen for the steal.
Frank Gore.
Correct.
Thank you.
See, I thought he was gone.
The inconvenient truth.
I should have just went with my first thought.
Okay.
Rich Eisen, it's your board.
Okay, thank you.
We just talked to Tampa Bay Bucks running back Rashad White. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not had a 1,000-yard runner in quite some time. Who was that person?
I will go with the aforementioned Doug Martin.
Correct.
Thank you.
2015.
Thank you.
Doug Martin.
Oh, I'm up 2-0, and I still have all three of my what year is it?
Rich Eisen, control the board.
Control the board, yes.
We talked about them to start the show, the New York Jets.
The New York Jets.
Oh, not had a 1,000-yard rusher in quite some time, your guess.
I'm going to go with Rich Eisen's show favorite, Thomas Jones.
And
TJ
Jefferson,
steal.
The New York Jets.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask you for the year.
2015.
You know, I don't know anyone on the Jets. Jets and
oh my
15.
God.
Goodness gracious.
He doesn't get any.
3, 2.
Okay.
1.
What do you got?
Chris Ivory.
Oh, that's right.
That is. Okay.
Wow.
That one, I think.
That's a deep cut.
Might be the hardest one on this list.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I was prepared for this.
So I maintain possession.
Rich Eisen, the board is back to you.
Okay. I'm up 2-0. We're three guesses in. What do you got?
I cheated.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Last 1,000-yard rusher. I'll ask for the year on this one.
2016.
1,000-yard rusher for the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, my goodness gracious.
In 5. 3, 2.
I'll go Chase 1. Edmonds. I know I'm wrong. What do you got, TJ?
TJ Jefferson, 2016 Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, this is amazing that we can't get it right.
My goodness.
I thought you guys might get this one.
Okay.
The favorite number one overall fantasy pick one year.
Oh, of course, David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Okay. Okay, very good. What's next? What's
All
next?
Right. Rich Eisen, still your board. The Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins' last 1,000-yard rusher. Wow.
It's been a while.
Okay, I'll go back in the day. I'll go Ronnie Brown.
Good guess. Incorrect.
TJ
Jefferson.
You've got
the
two
Miami Dolphins.
You've got two of your guesses left.
Ricky Williams.
No, incorrect.
Okay.
2016. Jay Ajayi.
We're really not doing these running backs any service saying that.
Did you do that?
That's who I was.
Are you a friend that we should phone?
Rich Eisen, okay,
give me NFL Films music here, please. Like, it's enough.
Still
I feel like I can't
board.
Believe it's not butter. Okay, what do you got over there?
Still your board, Rich. Yep. The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, last 1,000-yard rusher is, I got it, Fred Jackson.
Incorrect.
Oh, that was my guess, too.
It wasn't Fred. He never ran for 1,000 yards?
Or he wasn't
He might
the last
have,
one.
But he wasn't the last one.
Okay.
Huh. TJ Jefferson.
I mean, I might as well ask for the year.
2017.
Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Oh, I thought I got that right.
You were very confident.
I was.
Rashawn Lynch.
Which I appreciate.
No, that's not 2017.
Incorrect. Shady.
I think that one too.
LeSean McCoy, 2017.
Okay. This segment's not working out too well.
No, I really thought you guys were going to get these.
How many do we got left here? Three?
Let's see. We got four left.
Okay. I still can maintain control of the board because TJ's terrible at this game.
I'm not good at this.
Rich Eisen, the now Los Angeles Chargers.
Their last 1,000-yard rusher.
Their last 1,000-yard rusher. This might work better if I give you guys hints.
Okay. What do you got?
He famously rejected a contract extension.
Oh, Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Okay, very good. That's number three.
I was got that 2017.
Okay. I maintain control of the board.
Maintain control of the board. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs' last 1,000-yard rusher. We mentioned him yesterday, Kareem Hunt.
Correct.
Okay, that's four.
He led
the league in rushing.
He led the league in rushing that year. Yeah, as a rookie.
In 2017, yeah.
The
New Orleans Saints' last 1,000-yard rusher. Is it tomorrow's guest, Mark Ingram?
It is.
Thank you very much.
I'm getting all the ones you get, and I can't get any of the ones you get.
Maintaining control of the board.
Just finish this whole thing. The Los Angeles Rams.
Los Angeles Rams' last 1,000-yard rusher.
I know this one.
You want to take it?
TJ's for the steal.
Todd Gurley,
correct.
Right, yeah.
2018.
Yep.
How about the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I could have said Gurley and kept control of the board.
You could have.
TJ Jefferson, Carolina Panthers.
You did kind of give me that one, so go ahead.
McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey, correct.
Right.
Houston Texans.
Aaron Foster?
That might be a little tougher.
Aaron Foster?
No, there was someone after him.
Not Damian Pierce?
No, he didn't have 1,000 last year, but he will this year.
Yeah. Carlos Hyde.
Holy Buckeye, Batman.
Carlos Hyde. How about the Denver Broncos?
Their last 1,000-yard rusher?
He did it in his rookie season, if I'm not correct, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Philip Lindsay.
Remember that TD gave him his 30.
Yep.
The kid ran wild.
Our last one, the Baltimore Ravens. The last 1,000-yard rusher for the Baltimore Ravens?
Would have to be Gus. Did Gus do it? Gus Edwards?
Sometimes the obvious answer is the correct one.
Lamar?
Lamar Jackson. Okay.
See, I mean, I knew that one.
There we go. Interesting.
That was
tougher. We really didn't do we kind of did a disservice to these running backs when we're saying how important they are, and then we can't even name any.
Blast for the past names on here. I mean, Breece Hall, I would think, get 1,000 yards this year.
There they are.
Right?
He's the last one. It's LeSean McCoy is the last Buffalo Bill to run for 1,000 yards.
I would think Christian McCaffrey would get it this year for the 49ers.
Remember David Johnson came in and Arians put him in there, and he was just a house of fire.
Everyone took him number one in fantasy, and then he hurt his hand and missed most of the year.
And then that's how the Cardinals acquired DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
They flipped him to the Houston Texans.
And his career was kind of never the same.
Oh, I started off with Gordon Martin, 1-2. And it took me a while to finish it up. But thanks for playing, TJ Jefferson. Do we have a photograph of TJ's?
That's funny.
I should have just cheated.
That was like a double over. That's how bad he was at that.
Oh, you got the easier ones.
Oh, sorry.
Had that coin toss been flipped a different way, this game would have went.
I mean, I had an American coin. Jeez.
That was like, you got to start.
No,
you blanked on Free
Yeah, you started.
You blanked. You didn't even give an answer on the 49ers, and I went Frank Gore.
That's
my gosh,
saying.
That was like Master Key.
Difference being, I actually looked this time.
Greg Harton sitting in the green room saying,
he's wondering,
well, really?
What am I doing?
Oh, yes.
I wonder what his favorite cake is.
Well, Wolverine cake. If you're like me and you're on the run, you need help finding good food and eating right. And now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. If you're too busy with summer plans to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the shopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Eisen50 and use code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're live on the Roku channel. Our radio audience returns. So the first of two times I say hello to the author of Stay Sane in an Insane World, How to Control the Controllables and Thrive. And I've heard of the guy who wrote the foreword. His name is Tom Brady. The author and longtime Michigan athletic counselor, Greg Harden, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you.
Greg. Good to see you, young man.
Good. I mean, you know, you and I were talking back there, and, you know, last time I guess we crossed paths was when I was there, by the way, it's 7 years ago.
Seven years ago, sir.
When I was
you
an
honorary captain.
When Harbaugh asked me to do that, I was bowled over, blown away, because when I first showed up on campus in 1986, Jim was the senior quarterback, you know, saying we're going to go win the Rose Bowl and probably pissing Bo off, you know, and he was my first quarterback
really
at Michigan. So for him to be the coach and say, hey, do you want to be the honorary captain? I was blown away. That was great.
Yeah. But that was a special day. And, as a matter of fact, I've got rumors about that day. In fact, I heard that you did a stand-up comedy routine.
Yeah.
For the, team.
Well, now that wasn't on that day.
That was at the
Rose Bowl against Texas.
Out here. Oh my God.
Yeah, where
that
Lord Carr asked
2004
me
to, or 5.
That's
or
exactly
something.
When it was.
Come on, man.
And I met Bo before the game. It was Bo just before he passed.
Oh.
Was that that? But
man.
Yes, I did stand. It might have been the last time I ever attempted to do that. But as you know, I can't really say no to a Michigan football coach, and that's what Lloyd asked me to do. And I'm like, you really want me to do it? And he said, yep. So I did it. Oh, my gosh. It's funny. Obviously, you've got a sharp brain. That's for darn sure. Greg Harden is here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're talking about his new book back here on the Rich Eisen Show Roku channel live stream, along with what we're talking about on the radio. The author of Stay Sane in an Insane World, How to Control the Controllables and Thrive. Greg Harden here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I say go blue to you, sir, to kick things off.
Go blue.
How did you wind up on the campus of the University of Michigan?
I was minding my own business, working as a clinical therapist at a hospital called Byer Memorial Hospital in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Right down the road.
And
Washtenaw County?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I got a call from a physician asking me if I would come and do a speech on alcohol and drugs for the team. And I said, oh, thank you for calling, but no. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that? And I shared with him that you're asking me to do a 20-40 minute rah-rah, we love you, just say no speech to the team so you can mark a box. I say, that doesn't work and I don't do it. He says, yeah, but it's Michigan. Yeah, I love Michigan, but it's Michigan football. I love Michigan football. But no, thank you. I appreciate it. I can give you the names of some people who might be eager and willing. No one says no to Michigan football.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back and shares with his boss. His boss happens to be Shem Beckler. And Shem Beckler says, who is this guy? I want to meet him. Well, I'm young and dumb at the time, and I said, hell, I want to meet him. And I got 21 questions for him. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're talking about preventing and dealing with the issue of alcohol and drugs, mm-hmm. Then the speech, here's a hand. This is the whole program. This is the speech. Mm-hmm. And if you can't tell me what would happen if a kid raised his hand after this fantastic speech and said, oh, my God, I need help, what would happen? So I'll be coming in to ask you, and not only do I want to have Chip Beckler there, I don't know at the time, Rich, I set up a kangaroo court for myself and mm-hmm. said, not only do I want Chip Beckler there, mm-hmm. I want the head trainer, I want the sport administrator, I want the medical team, I want everyone there that has to make a decision
yes.
about what would happen to this kid if he were to raise his hand. I said, all right. I walk in, you. Of course, I'm this brother from Detroit in there. Of course, about eight of the oldest white men you ever saw in your life.
Sitting in this room in Ann Arbor. Right.
And the guy introduced me and says, my God, Greg Harden, this is Chip Beckler. Chip Beckler, this is the guy I was telling you about. And Chip Beckler looks at me and says, go.
That's what he says.
Mm-hmm. But that's I came to ask you questions. He says, tell me about your program. Mm-hmm. Well, needless to say, I had to tell him about what I would do mm-hmm. if I were in his shoes.
And did he hire you in that meeting, or did you agree to be hired in that meeting?
Well, after I got through sharing with him how I would approach it, mm-hmm. and of course I was eager and enthusiastic, and I said, I need 6 sessions, and then he laughed. And he says, I'll give you 3. You'll give me 3 sessions?
With the player you're talking about?
With all the players.
With all of them.
And I get to break them up into smaller groups instead of talking to 140 people about this is what a drug, no. Mm-hmm. I said, we'll break it down. We'll break them into units and we'll separate. But each one will get at least 3 sessions to look at the impact on the individual, mm-hmm. on the community, and on the team.
And is that where you met Jim Harbaugh for the first time?
That's the first time I ever met Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh, I think, was a senior. It was 1986.
That was a freshman on campus. He was a senior quarterback. What was your psychological evaluation of Jim Harbaugh from first meeting him, Greg?
He was a unique individual, especially when he announced clearly and distinctly what was going to happen at the Ohio State game.
Right.
Yeah, and that's when... You know, it was pretty clear to me that his confidence was not an issue.
There was no, I know. And then I just remember on my tenure there on campus, it basically started with you know, the Harbaugh quarterbacked team and ended with Bo's final season. Did he reach out to you in his final season to talk about his retirement process, or were you just as surprised as anybody?
You were a journalist.
I was.
Working for the Daily.
I was. I covered Bo's final season. And I remember the Ohio State week, he was more chill than any of the previous weeks. And a bunch of the reporters who were, you know, hard-bitten reporters who covered the team were wondering, something's like, what's going on? Because he was really, he wanted to have story time before the Ohio State week. I remember he pulled everyone aside away from the lunch table at Weber's Inn, which is where he would always have his media sessions, mm-hmm. and he held it like right near a fireplace, sitting in a chair, and just everybody sit around and he just wanted to tell stories. And he, you know, they beat Ohio State and then he announced he was retiring.
Man.
Did that surprise you too, or did he reach out to you during that process?
At that point, I was just fascinated by being connected
right.
to Michigan football.
Right.
And Jim was just a guy that you were just fascinated with, mm-hmm. and he was a huge personality, but he was focused like a laser beam mm-hmm. on the task at hand.
Well, he still is, it seems,
he
right?
He still is.
Greg Harden here on the Rich Eisen Show. Desmond Howard loves you, Greg. I mean, you know that. I tried to get him to call in to surprise you during this interview, and he was shooting a commercial because he's Desmond Howard. He's probably in the Heisman House right now. Is that your guess, Chris? Is where
that would
he is
be
right
my
now?
Best guess, Heisman House.
So yeah. He loves you. He called you the secret sauce. as you know. That's the famous phrase that you are. And again, Tom Brady wrote the foreword for this book. You've also helped counsel Michigan athletes named Charles Woodson and Michael Phelps. So what is the through line that you have found between these four athletes, just in particular, that are this audience might be very obviously very familiar with their work and might be unfamiliar with your work with them?
Well, in the book that I wrote, we tell stories. Mm-hmm. And the book is not about Michigan. Let's make it crystal clear. Mm-hmm. This book is about human behavior, human attitudes, and self-mastery. That's mm-hmm. where we're trying to go. So when you ask that question, it opens up the door to what's the difference between these characters that you described who are high performance, peak performers, and the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hungry is the first word that has to come out of your mouth. But then you add hungry and humble. That's what makes them different. These guys are hungrier than everybody you know, and they want it. They want it desperately. But they were humble enough to be coachable. That's what makes you coachable. Some humility where you can, where the ego can be surrendered mm-hmm. and allow someone else to give you advice, input, support, boom, boom, boom. Asking for help, that's not what the average person does. And Desmond Howard isn't sent to my office because he's in trouble or creating any problems. He raises his hand and says, can we talk? I said, okay, we can talk. Desmond Howard studied me for a year and a half before he'd even talked to me.
Is that right?
Man, that's the most fascinating story I ever get to tell. Desmond approaches me after a summer camp. I just got through speaking to 900 high schoolers or something.
Right.
And he pulls me aside and says, can we talk? I said, sure. And he's telling me how he's not happy. He's telling me how, you know, this opportunity isn't working out the way he thought it would, and that he was a running back in high school, and now they're making him a wide receiver. They're not even playing him. And, you know, he's got people interested elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, so you're looking for a geographical cure. What? I said, so you think that the guys that are recruiting you like we recruited you are going to, like, what, be different from the guys here, from the coaches here? I said, well, I tell you what, Des, I don't know you, and if you say you were that guy in high school, I believe you. This ain't high school. Nobody cares if you leave. You haven't done anything.
You were?
So it's, I think it's like July. I say, so if you're going somewhere else, there are no scholarships.
Right.
Your timing is really whacked out. In addition to that, if you're serious, you need to demonstrate that you are the guy.
That's all good.
You are the you are the guy that you say you are here.
Well, it just sounds like, as well, Greg Harden here on the Rich Eisen Show, hearing this story, and obviously we know Brady's journey, and I want to get on that in a second. Charles Woodson's sat in that chair and told me how uncoachable he really was and how he had to apologize to Lloyd Carr in order to get back on the field in time for an Ohio State game. He told that whole story and how his mother told him, you go apologize to Lloyd, when he refused to apologize to Lloyd. And were you the one who put him on the phone with his mother, or that was his position coach who did that? Because that was his position coach, right?
Position coach.
So what I'm saying is that it sounds like, do you have to allow yourself to be humbled if you're not?
If it's not your nature, if it's not, in order to go to the next level, for anyone that's listening,
yes,
to go to the next level, you have to take your humility pills twice a day mm-hmm. and turn yourself into someone who is so hungry that you know how to arrest your own ego, how to make your ego your ally instead of your enemy, and ask your ego, what do we have to do differently? And your ego will say, hey, well, the only thing I got for you is, like, you need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to talk to somebody, Charles was the most unique out of all the athletes I've worked with.
Yes.
The best athlete I've ever seen in my life. It's Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I like the gulp you just did, too.
Bruh. Charles Woodson, I'd be on the 50-yard line sitting, you know, just chilling, and they come out at halftime. I think it was Iowa. We're getting beaten by Iowa.
That happens
a
lot.
And it's an ugly game. Mm-hmm. Charles Woodson walks past me and says, G, we got this. Gee, we got this. Mm. But it's Charles. But this ain't basketball. You can't, like, go out and score 20 points.
Right.
I mean, you're on defense. The look in his face, the body language, the whole nine yards says, we're not losing this game. Who can decide at a football game on defense that we're not going to lose the game?
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
Right. But like I said, he seemed to be he had to be humbled. And then he said, like, the rest was history once he did play in that game against Ohio State, that he apologized to Lloyd, you know, took the hard coaching, whether he thought it was warranted or not. I got Greg Harden here on the Rich Eisen Show. So were you there when Brady was going through the Drew Henson stuff? That is the beginning of a journey where you were counseling him when he was going through that?
The best thing that ever happened to Tom Brady was Drew Henson.
Why is that?
Because it became clear to him that, I tell you this, so Sports Illustrated called me one time and says, we're doing a story with Drew Henson. Drew Henson is one of the greatest kids you ever meet in your life.
No doubt.
And so
insanely talented at the prep level in Michigan. He did everything.
And he says, and they say, we want to talk to you about Tom Brady and Drew Henson. I said, I'm still working at Michigan, so clearly you're not thinking this through.
That's right. Right.
So, like, I will not be talking about that, but I tell you what, you can quote me on this. Drew Henson was Superman. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was Batman. Batman always thinks he can whip Superman's ass. You understand? Mm-hmm. He always got a little kryptonite in his pouch. Mm-hmm. So the work that we had to do, why was Tom Brady drafted 199th pick? Well, if he's that good, why is he sharing the limelight with a freshman?
Correct.
If I'm a scout, if I'm the general manager, I'm saying, yeah, okay, he's nice, but he had to share his senior year with another guy, he must not be that good. Mm-hmm. Look, the mindset of a Tom Brady is the only thing that got him through all that. He was heartbroken, overwhelmed by all of this. And you'll hear me say it, and you've heard me say it before. When Tom Brady was in my office, I shared with anyone I worked with, you come in my office, you can cry, you can complain, you can do whatever you need to do. You can vent. But when you walk out this office, nobody's to see you sweat. You're to walk in and you're to take charge and be in control of what you can control. You can't control how these coaches are making decisions. Mm-hmm. That's not your role. Your role is to be consistent. Single most important word in sports, consistency. If I asked you the single most important word in sports to anyone in this room, they would say A, B, C, or D. But if they don't understand consistency, every word they come up with, we can put consistently win.
Well,
consistently, boom, boom, boom.
Brady is the king of consistency. It's just that he was consistent at the most insanely high level that we've maybe seen on a football field. And yes, I know, sir. I'm talking about Jerry Rice and Jim Brown here too. Okay. I know. So he's in that pantheon. He's placed himself in that pantheon. But once upon a time, he was a kid coming into your office saying, why do I got to share time? So when you said the best thing to happen to Tom Brady is Drew Henson, why do you say that?
Because it triggered and took it to the whole nother level. His mental game is the game. The mental game is the game. For anyone that's listening, anyone that wants to read this book,
yes,
self-mastery is what I teach. I can't teach Tom Brady how to do anything on the football field except master his own mind, be that guy who is committed to leading as best he can other men. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so he trained himself to be so disciplined that no matter what happened, no matter what the decision the coaches made, he was going to be steadfast in his quest to be the best.
So when you see him trotting on the field for Drew Bledsoe, and you see the conversation when Bledsoe was coming back, that Belichick was like, what do I do? Do I go with Brady? Do I go with Bledsoe? And then that happened again after the AFC Championship game that Bledsoe won while Brady got hurt. What were you thinking? Were you sitting there, Greg Hardy?
I'm thinking they have no idea what they're about to get. But most of, let's go all the way to recent current time.
Please.
Let's go to 28-3 at halftime in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, 20 in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Two best teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know 28-3 at halftime in a Super Bowl, it really is over. And you know you're only watching because you love Michigan and you love Tom Brady and you're just out of respect.
Well, he's a Patriot fan over there, so I'm sure you're very invested in what the story's about to unfold here, Chris.
But it's just think about it. It's 28-3.
Yeah, yes.
It's over. All they have to do is be consistent, but they weren't. They had decided it was over, too. The team they were playing had decided it's done. And Brady is sitting on the sideline, towel over his head, anticipating, I'm going to get back in the game. At no point is he thinking it's over. At no point can his mind comprehend the loss. Until it's a loss, it ain't a loss to him. This guy is determined to give you 100%, 100% of the time, win, lose, or draw. That's the most important lesson I've taught anyone that'll listen to me. What we talked about in my office when Tom Brady was coming to see me is to give 100%, 100% of the time. That's the toughest lesson I'm going to give you. But wait a minute. Win, lose, or draw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until you understand win, lose, or draw, and you have seen him lose a game, but you never saw him quit. Never.
So, just again, just to put a fine point on this, did you save Brady from quitting, essentially?
Well,
help or help save? Obviously, he's got to make the decision himself, Greg.
Check him out.
What?
You know that. You know me. You already know me.
No, I know.
I'm not going to say I saved anybody.
I know that, but you helped. But you helped.
Bruh, you're not gonna, we're not allowing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
My self-worth and self-esteem is not based on your decision-making. How I feel about me is what I'm teaching.
Yes.
You've got to decide. Once you can teach a person, if I can teach Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir.
You've got to decide with or without this environment, your life is going to be amazing. Huh? How do you tell a 19-year-old Tom Brady, you've got to decide with or without football, your life is going to be amazing. Once you make that decision, football becomes what you do, not who you are.
No, and I understand I put myself in a position of interviewing you, putting you in a position where you would take credit for something, and I know that was a mistake. So I'm going to come in a different direction.
Yes, sir.
Seeing what Brady became, was there a part of a moment in your office where it could have gone in a different direction if he didn't find that reserve himself?
Absolutely. Tom allowed me to convince him that his limitations are self-imposed, and you must stop putting limitations on yourself. He allowed me to talk about self-mastery and being so confident and so comfortable in the skin you're in that you'll never roll over because somebody else doesn't believe in you. And so he walks in my office and says, hey, I want to be the starting quarterback. He's just lost 25 pounds from acute appendicitis in an emergency operation. He's now looks even worse than he did 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm straightforward. I said, Tom, I can't help you be the starting quarterback, but I can help you understand if nobody else believes in your ass, you'll believe. He said, let's start there.
Greg Hardy, stay sane in an insane world. How to control the controllables and thrive, afforded by the aforementioned Tom Brady. You can get this book August 15th, but pre-order. Go ahead and do that. It is worth your time. And it'll help you if it's something that you feel you need help on. Greg, let's do this more often. Whenever you're in Los Angeles, you got a spot here.
Look, I'm so excited to have a chance to talk to you. I've watched your whole career. I've watched you ebb and flow and grow and grow and grow.
Thanks.
Get bigger and bigger. But no, in all sincerity, I appreciate this time and this opportunity, and I hope that we meet again.
Well, we certainly will. Thanks for everything that you've done, you know, for Michigan and for the most importantly the kids that you've seen in all the sports at the university for. And I'm glad you took that meeting with Bo there from Ypsilanti going up the road.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Greg Harden, everybody check out Stay Sane in an Insane World. August 15th is when it's available, but go ahead and pre-order it right now. We're back to wrap up this show in a moment.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It was 96, and it was the week before the Michigan-Ohio State game. You know, I got to practice. I wasn't feeling well. My back was a little tight, and I told the trainer, you know, my back is not feeling right. He was like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. So, you know, we're in practice, and he calls me over a couple of times.
Coach Carr.
Yeah. You know, he was like, you know, you're not paying attention. He said, hey, if you're not going to pay attention, then you can just leave. And I turned around. I walked out the field, walked into the locker room, put my clothes back on. I walked to the dorm, and I was like, man, I'm transferring. I'm out of here.
You walked out on Coach Carr and Michigan practice, Ohio State week, saying, I'm leaving.
I'm gone. Going to Coach Carr's office. You know, he asked me a question. He's like, you think you justified yourself by walking off the field? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think you had to make an example out of me. He was like, you know what? Well, you're not playing this week. I walked back down to Vance Beffer's office. He was like, told you. Just go down there and just apologize. You know what? Picks up the phone. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Miss Woodson, I told this boy to go down there and apologize, and that's all he had to do. Here, you talk to him. So I'm talking to my mom. She was like, what's the problem? I'm like, you know, my coach wants me to go down there and apologize. I'm like, I'm not apologizing. She was like, Charles. She said, I understand. I know you're mad and you're angry. She said, if you're not going to apologize for yourself, then do it for me.
Oh, boy.
Come on, man. So I said, okay. I get up. I go down.
Did it for mom.
I did it for mom, man. Apologized to coach. He said, well, you know what? Good, Charles. You're playing this week.
Oh, yeah. Love it when we can connect stories from guest to guest years later. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, that was great.
Yeah.
All right. Did you take a photograph of the man who set Tom Brady on the path of giving 100% 100% of the time?
I didn't, but he recognized me from when we were.
He said he recognized your head.
I recognize that head, which I'll be honest, is not a compliment.
Oh. Do you have a top five list you want to
give? I do.
All right, let's sneak it in. Chris Brockman's got a top five list. What is it about?
Okay, so this was for Monday in case you didn't make it back from the East Coast time. This was a kind of a segment filler. This is the top five things I'm looking forward to before NFL training camp kicks off.
Okay, so here we go.
All the camps kind of kick off next week. This is kind of what we're looking forward to before. Number five. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
Number five, the Open Championship. Big golf fan. Open Championship gets underway tonight.
Yes, it does.
Early morning on the East Coast. Over there across the pond, looking forward to watching that all hours of the day. Hopefully Rory can get number five. Number four. Looking forward to seeing Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I've already seen it.
We've already seen some of the clips have gone viral the last few months of Tom Cruise doing these stunts.
It's amazing.
The man has a death wish. He is our greatest movie star of all time. I cannot wait to see this.
I must tell you, it is incredible. I've seen it. I have seen it.
Two and a half hours is long?
It's like doing the cardio. It's 2 hours and 40-something minutes.
Oh, baby.
And it felt like 10.
Yes.
It's that good.
Cannot wait. Number three, You know we got Ellie De La Cruz fever here, Rich.
Yes.
The Reds are playing at the Dodgers next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Dodger Stadium. I will be there for one of those days. I am really looking forward to seeing this guy in person.
Okay.
Although he's in the, he's only got a 1-for-17 slump or something right now, but not here or there.
Not to pick nits, but that is during training camp, but I understand. I'm excited.
Thank you. Okay. Number two.
Yes.
Playing lots of golf. I'm out 3 days week to start. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, celebrating the birthday up north, Northern California. Going to be playing a lot of golf.
Very diverse group.
I'm down to... This is my crew from the Kevin Rahm Invitational at Sawgrass. Good. Love those guys. That was my crew.
Not exclusive.
Joe Hayden was there.
That's by the way, be careful talking about that stuff because you're technically on strike as an actor.
That
right
is
now.
True.
So...
You got to watch out.
I don't have a SAG card yet.
Okay.
I technically don't. Number one, Rich.
Yes.
The Burger Draft is back.
Oh,
it's been a 4-year hiatus. The last Burger Draft took place in 2019. Obviously, COVID in 2020, 2021, 2022. We couldn't get together. The Burger Draft is back. It's tomorrow night at 26 Beach in Venice.
Oh, my God.
It's back. Get ready, people. Maybe I'll live stream. Maybe we'll, we'll hit it up. We'll FaceTime you, Rich, because I know you're sad you can't be attending.
No, you haven't invited me.
The Burger Draft
is back.
Me.
You didn't invite me.
You want to go?
No.
No.
But congratulations.
The Burger Draft is back.
Okay.
That's my top five.
For those people who don't, the Burger Draft needs no music. It deserves no music.
Got it.
What? The Burger Draft is an institution
for people who
don't
know
Southern California.
What this is you go to this beautiful, this burger joint that has many different hamburgers.
Like 40 different types of burgers.
Right.
Specialty
so
burgers.
I would, if you invited me, hey, let's go and have burgers at this place, I'd be like, great. But I don't get to order the burger that I want.
Well, you get to order a burger.
You have to draft a
but
burger.
It depends where you are.
So you may
slotted,
not exactly.
You may not
it's
get
like
to eat
it's
it.
Like a fantasy draft for burgers. So I might That's wind fun. Up getting my eighth or ninth choice of burger because of a draft order and a cockamamie construct about eating burgers.
Well, Rich, you can make trades. People do make quarter burger trades.
Or I could just go to a spot,
add in a beer,
with a menu and order what I want and radically come up with the idea of eating it.
That sounds kind of crazy.
They are not serious people.
You're looking too deep into this.
No,
man.
I'm
it's
not.
It's a night of I'm camaraderie.
Not. I'm a man with little time
drafting.
To spare because I've got too much
Do
stuff
you care
going
about
on.
Your friends or
and
not.
A red meat sort of like can't have it too often. So if I'm going to have it, I'm going to have what I want, not my seventh choice because some bleep. Schmohawk that you're friends with had a draft order in front of me to eat the burger I want.
The Burger Draft is back, people. Get ready, get ready, get excited.
We're going to discuss it even more. Look at these people. I don't want to hang out with any of them.
One of them went to Michigan.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.